The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Gonzaga gone. Arizona out. Will the women's number one seeds fare better than the men tonight? Stanford and South Carolina both in action. Also, the thrill of tying, the agony of defeat. Frank, I sort of expected all black today with Italy and everything.
Really mean. Very mean.
What a photo.
Mean girl in charge.
Sometimes you got to show off the tattoos.
We do have confidence and faith in Deshaun as a person. Between the information that we were able to gather, working through due process, working through the legal process, you know, we do think that this is a decision that, as it's evaluated over the long run, will be something that is positive for our organization.
Are you saying that they all just made this up, they're all lying? What actually happened?
All I can say is, again, I never assaulted, I never disrespected, and I never harassed any woman in my life.
That was the scene today at Deshaun Watson's introduction to Cleveland. GM Andrew Berry and head coach Kevin Stefanski flanking Watson, and all three taking questions from the media on the allegations, the trade requests, the contract language, and how they can explain their football decisions to Browns fans who are uncomfortable with the direction of the team. Kevin, what did you make of today's presser?
Well, you know, it was 38 minutes long. I thought they took a variety of questions, a lot of questions. I thought they tried to answer them maybe as best that they could under these legal circumstances that we know that they're facing. And I think there are a lot of things that need to be taken into account here, right? I mean, the one thing that we know that women who have been in this situation, maybe victimized, have never necessarily gotten justice or gotten a full hearing in these situations. We know that women of color in particular, some of whom are involved in these civil cases, have never gotten their proper due in these situations. And we also know that black men in this country have historically been, I think, framed as sexual predators and quite often have been wrongfully accused in these situations. And I think you've got all of that going on here, and it's a very difficult situation for everyone involved. And I'll say, you know, one other thing. I would prefer not to have seen Andrew Berry there this morning as the GM defending or having to answer these questions. Really, it should have been Jimmy Haslam, the owner of the team, who I understand is going to do a Zoom press conference later on today, but that's not the same as standing in front of the media and standing in front of your fans at a podium and taking questions about this very serious sensitive matter.
Some great points in there. Black has done a lot of historical precedent on the side of both black men and women in our legal system. What did you make of what you saw today in Cleveland, Frank?
Well, I will say this. If I'm Deshaun Watson, I'm happy that my general manager and my head coach were sitting there next to me showing support. But what is anybody really going to say? You know, there are still the allegations. It's 22 women. How is anyone supposed to feel comfortable with this? This is a guy who's making the most guaranteed money right now in the history of the sport. Where's the commissioner weighing in on this? There's no way that anyone could watch this and not look at it as anything else than Deshaun Watson is a great football player. That's all everyone cares about. That's the only reason he's there today. And he knew he was going to face the tough questions. Bravo to the media, especially the Cleveland media. They asked all the tough questions. He answered them as best they could. But are you satisfied? There's a reason you do this on a Friday. Because now you're going into the weekend and they hope it kind of disappears over a busy sports weekend. But otherwise, there's no way you could look at that and feel good about it.
Yeah, a lot of questions asked, Tim. I'm not sure how many straight answers given, maybe in part because of legal reasons. But the NFL has been investigating this and has spoken to the alleged accusers. The Browns appear to be using a different standard in deciding not to speak to them to make their decisions. What did you see today?
And they weren't very good at answering that question because they tried to keep relying on, we can't talk to the women for legal reasons. They could talk to their attorney, the man who represents most or all of them, and there's no legal wrongs by talking to him, and he claims the Cleveland Browns never spoke to him about it, because I don't think the Cleveland Browns want to know the full story. They're like every other NFL team or most pro sports teams who go through this. They investigate, find things that they want to hear, and then they can move forward. I just found myself wishing Andrew Berry or Stefanski would say, we want to win a Super Bowl. We're the Browns. We've never been to one. That's why he's sitting here in between us. I know why they can't say that, but that's why he's there.
Finally, to Izzy, what did you see today from the Watson presser?
Yeah, I mean, I basically echo everybody else's sentiments here. But when you look at this going into it, not once did I think, okay, we're going to get a good picture here. We're going to see his side of the story, because really we're talking about one side and we're not going to get the other potential 22 sides here. So if you're a Cleveland Browns fan and you're trying to look at signs as to say, hey, maybe I can believe in Deshaun Watson, you're looking at this press conference and you're like, maybe a little disappointed, because, you know, he says things like no regrets, and he said, I've never done this and this. I mean, I would like to hear a guy say, well, I have some regrets, maybe not anything that would indict him or would incriminate him, but some regrets about maybe the way he's treated it, maybe the way he's spoken about things, maybe the way things that he's seen, and maybe some sort of discussion about how women are treated publicly, anything like that, to kind of say, oh, okay, maybe I see what other people are saying about Deshaun Watson. In this situation, you saw a guy come in here and a team come in here, basically had a plan, we're going to say what they could say, and then move on, and then just cross their fingers that maybe people will just see what they see and just kind of move on and say, hey, we don't have as big of a problem with this anymore.
Yeah, situations with these kind of allegations rarely leave us with a clean and satisfying ending, but we still do have to have these kind of pressers and these kind of discussions. One last thought from you, Tim Kalishaw.
Yeah, I mean, and it's just something Frank touched on, the guaranteed money. We saw where it was going. Dak, $95 million, $100 for Josh Allen, $101 for Rodgers, $230 million guaranteed.
Why?
And that only happens because he's in this situation of allegedly his own doing.
Not great answers on that million-dollar first year either from them. All right, we've got to move on. Tournament action. Arkansas, or as Woody Page calls them, the Hog People, bounced top-seeded Gonzaga last night, 74-68. Zags have never won a title, despite five tournament appearances as a number one seed. That's tied for most one seeds without a title since seeding began back in 1979. Couple questionable calls as Bulldog standout Chet Holmgren fouled out trying to stop an aggressive Arkansas team in the restricted area. There's also an out of bounds that's kind of hard to question. Frank, fair calls in this game, or did Gonzaga get jobbed by the refs last night?
Well, those calls were terrible. And look at this missed one right here where the player is clearly standing on the baseline. You have to call that. And Chet Holmgren had a rough tournament. He did not play well in the three games. And those calls were awful. But guess what? Arkansas is a well-coached team. Eric Musselman, former NBA coach, has done a great job at Nevada, now at Arkansas. Gonzaga got what they deserved, but they deserved a little bit better from the referees.
How about you, Tim Kalishaw, fair or foul?
Especially the fifth foul on Holmgren. He appears to be about as straight up like this as you can be, and the player plows into him. But this is not the NBA, where they have altered that rule, and you can watch any college game and see the offensive player get the benefit of that call. I don't feel sorry for them. Gonzaga did not play a single game in this tournament where they looked like a one seed. They had trouble putting Georgia State away. They weren't great against Memphis, and last night Arkansas was better than they were.
Izzy, was it about the calls or was it about how the teams played?
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to give him that excuse. Obviously, the out-of-bounds one was what it was. Chet Holmgren's a bit of a difficult person to officiate, because he's so light and because he's so thin, and you can kind of hit him in the chest and his arms come down, and then all of a sudden you go through his arms and it looks like a foul. So difficult to officiate, probably a couple of 50-50 calls. But that senior backcourt, Nembhard, Bolton, they weren't very good. I think 5 for 21. Yeah. They didn't really look like, as Tim said, a dominant team in the first couple of rounds. So I'm not going to give him the referees as an excuse.
Blackiston, you going to bail him out here?
No, I'm not going to bail them out. Are you kidding me? Look, they were held to 37% shooting from the field, only made 5 three-pointers. They turned the ball over 15 times with that Arkansas pressure. And you talk about a team wanting to whine about a call. 5 years ago, as a number one seed against number 8 Northwestern, they needed a goaltending call that wasn't made by Zach Collins against Derek Pardon, which turned around, which stopped a comeback by Northwestern in the last 5 minutes of that game. That is That is a bad call.
I commend you for the remembrance of that, and I worry that you're still talking about it. Okay, joining Arkansas in the Elite Eight, we've got Houston, who eliminated a number one seed in Arizona. We've got Villanova, who outlasted Michigan, and then Duke, who beat Texas Tech to give Coach K tournament win number 100 and extend his career. Of the four winners that we saw last night, who looked the best to you, Izzy? You got to be impressed by somebody.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't impressed earlier by the top seeds, but I'm currently impressed by Houston. They just have a very specific way that they win. You hear people, when you hear people say, hey, you want to play them a couple of times in the regular season to get used to them in the postseason, that's because they work so hard, they defend so hard, they're relentless, and, you know, they basically need one guy to have a big scoring game. It's been Kyler Edwards mostly, a little bit of Tajay Moore in the second round, but they just need one guy to get them those buckets, and they're going to do what they do and defend and rebound. And Arizona did actually have more offensive rebounds in this game. That's because they missed two-thirds of their shots and had so many opportunities to get those offensive boards. Houston's been great so far.
KB, is it Houston or someone else impressing you the most?
No, for me, it's got to be Duke. I can't take my eyes off of them, in part because we know that at any moment, at the end of any game, it could be Coach K's last game, right? And you saw this team down a little bit in the second half, came back. They were 8-for-8. Down the stretch to win that game and come from behind. 71% shooting in the second half. All the pressure's on him. And not only that, afterwards, I hope that this is true, Coach K said they asked him if they could play man-up defense. And they did. Mm-hmm. So I am really impressed with what Duke is doing right now.
Yeah, Duke had him really on the ropes with the zone. But then the players allegedly told him, let's go back to the man-to-man now.
Man-to-man.
And he listened. And we also got a good fist pump and a leg kick out of him, which is fun to see. Isola, most impressive to you?
Just so we're clear here. So Kevin criticizes the team that couldn't get a call. And yet he's impressed with the team that gets every call all the time. He also happens to be right, though, about Duke, because they were very good. And think about the pressure that's on this team. You had the head coach who, after their last regular season game, said this is unacceptable. So they know every time they take the court, this could be it for Coach K. And they were trailing in these games. They've come back, and please, please, can we get North Carolina Duke at some point? Because can you imagine if Hubert Davis and Carolina end Mike Krzyzewski's career the way they ended his time at Cameron Indoor Stadium? That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, the turnaround and the talk around Duke from the beginning of the tournament to now is huge. Kalashaw, is that your squad or someone else impress you more?
I'm going to go with Houston overall. I think Izzy is right. I thought they would be good against Arizona. I didn't know they would just kind of handle him the way they did. I thought Shedd was great too, along with the players Izzy mentioned. But Duke's last 10 minutes and they're shooting against the best defensive team in the country, according to Ken Pom. That was wild. That was impressive. And they found Texas Tech has all these guys 6'6", 6'7". It looks like there's nowhere to go. But the guy who was smaller and the guy who was bigger, Williams, they did a number on Texas Tech.
Man, as this keeps happening to Gonzaga, I'm starting to wonder, are they underperforming or are they overseeded every year after their regular season?
Overseeded this year.
Oof. All right, coming up, more Turning Talk. You buy or sell. Be right back.
Gonzaga.
Last year was
Leave him alone, Kevin.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, brought to you by Chase. Coming to you from the Seaport District at Pier 17.
1-1 to rule them all. Kansas, the last number one seed standing in the men's NCAA tournament. Four-seeded Providence looking to take them down tonight. Also, St. Peter's Peacocks hoping to keep peacocking with an upset of number three Purdue on National Peacock Day. Real thing. Look it up. We've also got 4-seed UCLA versus 8-seed North Carolina and a 10-11 matchup in Miami, Iowa State closing out the night. Who among you on this hallowed day of the Peacock will be brave enough to call an upset in the men's tournament action tonight? Tim, are you brave enough?
I am brave enough, but not to go with the Peacocks, unfortunately. I'm brave enough to take the number 8 North Carolina Tar Heels over number 4 UCLA. Did you see North Carolina take a 25-point lead on Baylor before all hell broke loose and one player got tossed and another one fouled out and they kind of fell apart with the pressure Baylor put on them? Other than
North
Carolina is very impressive.
North
Carolina is very impressive.
UNC then.
They'll take down UCLA.
Okay. Izzy, call an upset?
So this... The strategy is to make all hell break loose early in the game, and you can beat North Carolina easily.
Absolutely.
Look, Sarah, I actually did look it up right before you said, because I didn't know it, and that's no coincidence. Look, upsets are very difficult to predict. You got National Peacock Day for the St. Petersburg Peacocks. You have to win that game. I'm going to go ahead and call it. I don't think it would be that much more of a shocking upset than Kentucky, so yeah, St. Peter's.
Also, if you caught that Lord of the Rings reference, 1-1 to win them all, that's it's also Reed Tolkien Day. So go deep on these things, people. Blackestone, upset tonight?
No. Well, it's got to be I got to go with my former office mate, Tim Kalishaw. If there's going to be an upset, it would be number 8 over number 4, North Carolina, playing really, really well. They are really hammering people. And you got to think that they're not going to lose a player to a ridiculous technical foul like they did against
Baylor. Well, we can't assume anything with this officiating, but let's assume probably not. Isola, how about you?
I'll tell you what, these two guys have spent way too much time together. You think that North Carolina, that ruined Mike Krzyzewski's last game at Duke, is an upset if they beat UCLA? You honestly believe that? Do you realize St. Peter's is going to be playing in Philadelphia? It's about 80 miles away from their campus. They're going to have fans there. And last night, I was with my buddy John Fennelly, whose uncle is the only Rhodes Scholar in St. Peter's history. What a coincidence. I'm the only Rhodes Scholar in Maryland history as well. So we have some.
Wow. That was a real reach even for you, Frank. Moving on. Women's Sweet 16 starts tonight with a couple favorites in action. Number 1, South Carolina, with their smothering defense and struggling offense, facing a 5-seeded UNC squad. The defending champs, 1-seed Stanford, also on the schedule tonight, taking on 4-seed Maryland. Stanford won its first two games by an average of 33.5 points. We've also got Ohio State, Texas, and Iowa State, Creighton tonight. Who among you on this International Waffle Day will be brave enough to call an upset in the women's tournament tonight? KB, you're first.
Me. Yes. And I'm not just saying this because I have an office in College Park, but the last time Maryland and Stanford played and Stanford won, Maryland was missing two key players, Diamond Miller and Katie Benson, out of the Ivy League, graduate student, right, from Harvard, one of the best three-point shooters in the country. She's back. They're getting the upset tonight, 4-1.
Adamant stuff from KB. He's certain. How about you, Frank? You see an upset tonight?
I want Kevin to be right, but unfortunately, look at Stanford. They're returning 83% of their scoring from last year's tournament. They had 3 20-point scores in their last game, and Haley Jones, my favorite player in college basketball, she just knows how to win. She's the muscle and the brain of that operation.
You went to Maryland.
Let's go with the muscle and brain of this operation.
I want them
Tim
to
Kalishaw.
Win, but I think Stanford's going to win.
Upset tonight?
Maybe I'll be a little more emphatic with this one. Creighton is a number 10 seed, and they can't guard anybody, but they beat Iowa already, Caitlin Clark. Now they're playing Iowa State. They were scoring points like crazy toward the end of the Big East season, 109 against St. John's. Take the Blue Jays.
All right, what I'm seeing from you is that they have similar names of those teams, so they're going to beat the ones with similar names. That was
true.
Izzy, how about you? You see an upset tonight?
They held Iowa to their lowest points of the season, so pretty sure they can defend, and I think they're going to do it again, frankly, against Iowa State here, because look, it's kind of a make or miss game. Both of these teams are top 10 in the nation and relying on the 3-point shooting for their scoring, right? So, you know, all you got to do is get hot, and if you can defend the same way you did against Caitlin Clark, I think you're going to go ahead and win that game, so I'm going to take Creighton.
I feel like all basketball games are make or miss games, but maybe I'm just getting too into the details here. Let's move on. We got a 0-0 draw for the U.S. men's national team versus Mexico last night. It was the A-team from coach Greg Berhalter last night, and they did have their chances, but they failed to capitalize and secure a win. But they do leave Azteca with a point, keeping qualification chances strong. Frank, what kind of a night was it for the U.S. men's national team?
I don't want to sound like a soccer snob, but that's a good result for the U.S. It used to be we'd go down to Azteca against this team. We'd be intimidated. They would treat us like we didn't belong on the field. After 90 minutes, the U.S. was the better team. They actually should have won it. To get a point, not bad.
I appreciate you being able to talk about soccer without crying today. RIP to your Italy team. Cal LaShaw, U.S. Thank men's you. National team last night.
Frank apparently wants to sound like a different kind of a snob. you showed those two highlights, though. Those are penalty kicks. Put those in the net. I don't know how you can be with 0-0 when you miss those two.
Well, Frank says you're right. Izzy, what did you see last night?
Well, because they looked like the better team throughout the game, except for maybe the last few minutes where Mexico was just kind of desperate there. And yeah, I mean, in pretty much almost every other game, they finished at least one of those, especially that last one there. And they had players that just looked fantastic. They got Gio Reyna back, who had this really long run, who didn't really result in anything, but just shows you the kind of magic he has on his feet. I thought this was a great result for the men's team, and they're going to feel really good about themselves going into their next two qualifying matches.
KB, what'd you see from the U.S. men's national team in the tie?
Man, sometimes only with the men's team do we seem to be satisfied that they play to tie the game. But you know what? It moves them ahead in qualification. They didn't fall on their face, so good for them. Well, Mexico's falling apart. They've been falling apart for the last several years. We know that.
I would like to commend KB for remembering who's hosting this show. Really nailed that at the end there. It is both true and exactly what I want to hear. I got to get rid of two of you. Kalashaw, weekend starts early. Isola, by 1 point.
Model.
Izzy. Blackstone. Go drown yourself in some pasta, Frank. All right, we got Showdown next.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
One showdown for all the glory. Bulls Pelicans last night. Final score definitely not important. But take a look here. Jose Alvarado's hiding on the inbounds play and then surprises Alex Caruso into a traveling violation. It would appear the Bulls underestimated Alvarado's sneakiness. Israel, hiding on the inbounds, fair or foul?
Oh, that's so fair. He wasn't hiding. He was on the floor, and whoever was inbounding that should have been able to see that. And not only that, he probably gave the official a heads up, say, hey, watch for the travel here. I thought it was a great play.
KB?
Oh, my goodness. That's got to be foul. Anytime I see things like this, I always judge them by asking, what would happen in a pickup game at the local recreation center at your YMCA? You know what would happen? A fight would happen. And so that's what should have happened here. Can I? That's
as
so
someone who is not above tomfoolery and has in fact pretended to throw a tantrum in order to score a touchdown, points go to doing whatever it takes to win. Izzy gets the FaceTime.
That's right. I would have elbowed you too there if I needed to, KB. Listen, happy birthday. That was for you, Sarah. Happy birthday, Kyle Lowry. 36 years old today, and if you guys thought I wasn't on Around the Horn yesterday to talk about the Miami Heat, surprise! Kyle Lowry is 0-4 on his birthday, but today he is going to get to 1-4 on his birthday. Why? Because they're facing Frank Isola's New York Knicks, and if you saw him, that was Kyle Lowry, in the middle of that scuffle trying to call a timeout in the middle of his own teammates fighting, you know Kyle Lowry is going to take this upon himself, be the leader that he is, and lead this team to wins, not only against the Knicks tonight, but against Kyrie Irving and Brooklyn tomorrow in Miami. You can book those. I don't know why I'm making these predictions, but you can book both of those.
Probably because you're a member who's hosting, and I love being here this week, especially if I get to close with some New York Knicks slander. Tony's back on Monday.